I just love it that we have a worship team that's up here just out of love for God. You know, they're not employees. They worship God, and we call them worship leaders because they're supposed to go there first, and then we can follow. They get into that holy place with God, and we follow. Well, I tell you, I'm excited about what God's doing in these days that we're living in. And all summer long, I've been talking to you about the new normal, you know, and just kind of framing messages that, you know, maybe we've heard before. It's the same gospel of Jesus Christ, but framing it in the context that, just as what was stated earlier today, we are here for such a time as this. This is our best day to be alive in. Because as the world gets more desperate for answers, we know who the answer is. Who's the answer? Christ is the answer. And if you have Christ in you, you know, people are looking for you. They're looking for you to show up with an answer, you know, through the words that you speak, through your countenance, through your radiance, through the testimony of your life, maybe the testimony of your healing. You know, and I'm going to tell you, don't think that you're less spiritual if you get sick. You know, because remember John 9, when the disciples were saying, why was this man born blind? This isn't right. He didn't deserve that. But Jesus said it was so that he could demonstrate my power by being healed. You know, sometimes getting sick drives us to our knees where God wants to spend some time with us. Sometimes he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And that way he gets my attention. He gets your attention. But we are here today. We're together. Today we're standing by each other and going through this hour and recognizing like never before that God has a plan to have a remnant church, a people that he will use to touch the world. And more than ever before, the world's desperately in need of a touch from God. Amen, everybody. Well, I want to bring your attention to this subject that I've had on my heart to bring all year about hearing the voice of God and to share what I know from my experience and from the Word of God. Because I believe that God's speaking to all of us all the time, but we just have to learn how to hear. And there's a lot of voices out there today, especially with social media the way it is. There's a lot of people that have a lot to say. You have to really guard your spiritual ears that you would only hear what brings faith into your life. Wednesday night, we were blessed by Pastor Kevin Perry, a new couple in our church here that moved down from Philadelphia. And I've heard him preach, so I invite him to bring a word. And he brought a word Wednesday night. If you didn't see it, you didn't get here to the service, go pick it up. It's online. And about the power of the tongue, about death and life being in the power of the tongue. And, you know, I've been sharing that. You've been hearing it. But he said something that kind of pulled the trigger for me to bring this word to you today, because he said a lot of times what you say, what's coming out of your mouth is what you are allowing your ears to hear. If you're hearing through ears of fear, then you end up speaking words of fear. And remember, we can literally be cursing our lives and cursing the people around us, whereas if we speak, we hear through ears of faith, you know, a hurricane's on the way. Now, I'm not reporting that. It's not off the coast of Africa yet, you know, but when there is, and, you know, the peak of the hurricane season is not here yet, folks. Have you heard the weather men say that? It's still coming. You know, oh, we don't want to hear that. Let me tell you, the next hurricane that shows up coming our direction, you know, we want to make sure of what's coming out of our mouth, that it's words of faith. We want to hear with ears of faith and not ears of fear. Because what you hear sometimes will cause you, oh, I see you back there, you're further back. I'm used to seeing you in your spot. I know where everybody sits in this church. Don't move my cheese. Yeah. Pastor Kevin and Robin, God bless you. It was a good word Wednesday night. So I want to talk to you about, and I'm putting it up on the screen here, hearing the voice of God. Probably the greatest discovery in my Christian life was to discover how God speaks to me most often. But I'm going to show you some biblical ways out of Scripture, and not all the ways. There's many, many ways that God speaks. You know, God is creative, and He's not going to be put in a box. But I believe by sharing some of the ways and out of Scripture and out of my own life, it's going to open up some wells. This is what God showed me, that your well can get stuff full of stuff. Sometimes you allow others to put stuff in your well, and you're no longer are drawing from a well of life and living water. Hello, somebody. But we need to open up those wells here today and understand that God has a voice. Isaiah 30, verse 21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Let me tell you, there's nothing that will heal what ails you faster than to hear God's voice. And I'm going to show you different ways that God has spoken to men in the past and how He's spoken to me. By the way, this week, an agnostic atheist asked me to prove, said, how can you prove that God is real? How can you prove it? And I didn't have to think about that one at all. I said, God spoke to me this morning. I said, my faith is not based on some religious, you know, writing or document. You know, my faith is based on a living revelation of this word. This man was saying he didn't believe the Bible was true, that the Bible was God's word. I said, well, listen, I heard His voice this morning. You ask me how I know He lives. He lives within my heart. And that's what God is awakening in us in the days in which we're living in. Now, my first book that I've written was a book that we give to all first-time visitors here. It's called Releasing the Power Within You. But the real message of this whole book is the byline on this title, The Secret of Seeking God. And Hebrews 11:6 says that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. Hallelujah. But let's also know He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. And so I believe that hearing the voice of God most often comes forth in people that are in that motion of seeking God. How many want to be seekers? You've never arrived. You're still seeking God for more. We want to give you that hunger here in this church to be a seeker. And so just one word from God can totally change your life. I want to start out with this thought. God is spirit. The Bible says God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And when we come to church like this, it's so easy to get into a routine. You know, we most often, you know, we have a basic program that we our guideline that we go by in this church. But most of you know that we usually sing about three songs. You know, and, you know, we most often start out with something more upbeat and end up with something, you know, a little more reserved. And I tell you what, do not let that lull you to sleep. If that's lulling you to sleep, you better stand up and move a little bit, maybe get down to this altar and dance with some of them that are dancing down here. Because God is not impressed with that kind of worship. They that worship Him, God is spirit. How are you going to awaken your spirit to worship God when you come to church on a Sunday morning? Well, I personally have to close my eyes. I want to get alone with God. But I'm not only thinking about what I'm saying, but I'm listening. I'm asking God to speak to me. I'm saying God is spirit. We must become more spiritually sensitive. want you to turn to 1 Corinthians 2:14. I'm going to close on this passage. So if you don't turn to it now, we'll turn to it later. But I'm putting my first verse up here on the screen. 1 Corinthians 2:14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are what? Spiritually discerned. Put your hand on your heart right now. Father, just open up. Open up my spirit man. Oh God, that place in me where you live. Oh God, open it up. Open up my spiritual ears. Open up my spiritual eyes. Lord, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear your voice. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, I've discovered that it's most difficult to hear God's voice and to recognize his voice the first time. But you can get familiar with God's voice. You know, when you answer the phone and your friend is on the other line, all they have to say is hello and you know who it is. Hello, oh hi. You know who it is. How did that happen? You got familiar with that voice. I confess to you before that I frequent McDonald's a lot. But I discovered that Lenore was taking orders on the drive-thru the other day. She usually doesn't. She's usually working inside. Some of you know who Lenore is. But I heard that northern, that New York, New Jersey accent asking me what I wanted. I recognized her voice through the drive-thru. Forget about it. Where's Jesse? You know, and sure enough, she was back there taking orders. You can get familiar with God's voice and you can sort it out, sort him out from all the other voices in the world today. And it makes you strong because they're spiritually discerned. Romans 8:16 says the Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I'm asking that in this new normal for the church, that all of us get more familiar with the voice of God. It'll make us stronger. It'll cause us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. For God is with us. We know he's with us. He's at my right hand. He's right there alongside of me. Amen, somebody? So let me give you an understanding of that word in the Greek in your Bible. It's either logos or rhema. Now, some people say, well, I read the Bible and I just don't get anything out of it. Well, keep reading it because it is the Word of God. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Sooner or later, you're going to read the words on this page and God's going to reveal it to you. When it comes off this page and into revelation in your mind and answers a question you have or gives you the next step for the direction of your life, that's rhema. That's rhema. My definition is a specific word to a specific person in a specific situation. Logos, the general knowledge and understanding of the word. I believe that there's a lot of theologians. In fact, there's even some atheists that read this book. It's a beautifully written historical book, poetically, mathematically accurate in so many ways. But for you to become a believer, you need that revelation, the rhema. Sometimes you hear a message preached and God can speak a word right out of left field, not even on the subject that the preacher's speaking on. Because Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the rhema of the Word of God. When you sit in a service like this and you hear the Word of God preached, and those of you online too, when you hear the Word coming forth, and I'm putting it up on the screen as well, let me tell you, you are positioned for God to breathe life on that scripture or for him to speak a word in your spirit. It could be right, I mean, totally off this subject, but something you've been praying about, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. I want to say this about rhema. Rhema creates faith. Rhema motivates action. It overcomes obstacles. It overcomes fear. It creates miracles. One rhema word from God, a specific word to you with your name on it. How many want to hear God's voice in a greater, more clear way? Of course we do. It makes us strong. So in Matthew 14, we see where Peter heard one word from Jesus, come. And Peter walked on the water. Remember that? Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus didn't tell him how, didn't tell him when, exactly how to do it. Peter stepped over the side with just one word. One word. It was a specific word for a specific situation for Peter at that time. I said before, I don't believe that the other disciples could have followed him. That was Peter's rhema. Dad, we kind of proved that out on the Sea of Galilee one time with our group. And we were getting ready to go out on the boat. Some of you have been with us to Israel, and you know you have the opportunity to go out on a boat, old-styled boat like it would be in Jesus' day. And then we have a little service out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee. Well, this one of the fellows on our trip, he asked my dad before we left, said, when we get out in the middle, can I walk on the water? Can I walk on the water? And maybe some of you were on that trip. And Dad thought he was kidding. Could he have the first turn to walk on the water, he said. Dad said, sure, you know. Well, we got out there, turned the boat off, and before we knew it, this fella had stepped over the side. And I tell you what, he had his shoes on, watch on, wallet in his pocket. He was prepared to walk on the water up here. You know, but you know what he did? He went totally under and bobbed back up, and we fished him out of the water. And I tell you what, and I know he was a believer. He was on fire for God. He was a graduate of our Institute of Ministry, you know, so a good man of God. But that wasn't his rhema. No matter how many times you read it, that was a word to Peter on that day. You want to get your own rhema. Look at someone next and say, get your own rhema. Get your own word from God. I want you to get hungry for this today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to show you now the ways that I'm going to just list for you. My first point here is God can speak through his word. He can speak through his word. And there's been many times, I'm sure you identify with this, when I've been discouraged or I've been in a need for peace in my life, and I turn to the Word and I read the Word. And you know, you can go to the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You can go to the 91st Psalm, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. And it brings comfort to you. It really does. But the rhema is when it really bounces out to you and makes that difference in your life. And I got to tell you that when Jeanette and I were going through a rough time in our marriage, way back when, 6 years into our marriage, we were going through a really difficult time. And I was crying out to God, and I wasn't hearing God's voice very much in those days. Like young Samuel, it hadn't been made clear to me, but I was opening the Word. And I'll never forget, because it really changed my life, when I opened the Word, and it was 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 that really jumped out at me, where God told the Apostle Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in your weakness. And I can't explain it to you any more than that. That verse just jumped out at me. It just wrapped itself around my neck, you know, and gave me a big kiss. And it gave me a peace. It gave me an assurance that, you know, God had not forsaken me, that God was still there for me. It was like God spoke it from his own lips off of this page, that verse. And I've always had a special love for that, and a few others, because they've spoken to me in the same way. So I want you to never give up on the Word of God. Always go to the Word of God for answers, and God can give you an answer through his Word. How about an audible voice? Have any of you heard the audible voice of God. I thought we'd have some radicals out here that have had that. I've had that a few times in my life. And I like to go to this example in 1 Samuel 3, where young Samuel, he was being trained to be a priest under Eli in the temple. And when God called him by name in the night and woke him up, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel jumps up. He thought Eli had called him. And he went to Eli and said, did you call me? Oh, what do you need? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. He went back to bed and God called again, Samuel, Samuel. He jumps up, runs to Eli and said, you called me. He said, no, I didn't call you. And then the Bible says that Eli perceived that God had called the child. And so he told Samuel, if you hear that call again, then I want you to respond, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And God called again the third time, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. And God began to unfold to him what his life was going to be like going forward and for Israel and so forth. But the Bible specifically says this was the first time Samuel had ever heard God's voice. The first time, maybe the most difficult time, but God's persistent. And once Samuel recognized it was God, that became Rhema for him. It was revealed to him. Are you following me there today? I got to tell you that, Dad, I heard the audible voice of God one time up in Strawberry Lake out on the back roads. It's another story. Calling me by name. But my call to evangelism, most of you know, happened on an airplane, flying home from Honduras, flying over Cuba. I know exactly where it was. I was looking out the window, noticing the corridor that you're allowed to fly over Cuba. And I heard my name called, Philip. Now, only my mother calls me Philip, and that's when I'm in trouble, you know. So I was surprised that somebody in the plane would be calling me Philip. But it was so audible to me that I unbuckled my seatbelt and looked back. I thought maybe it's a few rows back. Everybody was sleeping. So I thought, well, it's just hearing things. And I sat back down again, and I heard it again, Philip, just like an audible voice, Philip, Philip. Then I recognized, you know, that must be God. And he said, take it to the streets. And take my word to the streets. It was the first time that I went out on the streets of this city. Because it was just a couple weeks later where a police officer in our church came up after a message and said, Pastor, I'd like to take you to the streets of our city. And I said, wow, God told me to take it to the streets. And that's what began the many years of us ministering out on the streets. And I appreciate Pastor Carl and Vicki for carrying it further with the Hunger's End ministry out there. But we've been feeding the hungry and having a service center for the homeless and ministering the people. The Lord told me not to let the devil go unabated out on the streets of the city, but to go after that darkness with the light. And that's what we've been doing. But that came with an audible voice from God. I had already been preaching here as a pastor, but God sent me out onto the streets. Well, the audible voice, it's awesome to hear the audible voice. I was discouraged in the ministry one time, and I just didn't feel I was getting through to God. And God woke me up with an audible voice. Saying, be strong in the Lord. It was so loud. I woke up like this and I went to the Word and God began to speak to me in some other ways. I'm giving you some thoughts on this because, church, I believe that many times we think maybe we've heard something from God, but we don't move towards it. And so we miss really recognizing that it's God. Are you hearing me? You know, when Moses saw the bush burning, the Bible specifically says, when God saw that he turned to investigate it further, then God spoke out of the bush. God's looking to see where our our heart is and where our interest is. God can speak through dreams and visions. You know, some of you are real dreamers in this church. I love to interpret dreams because I don't have dreams a lot. Although I can tell you that it was a series of dreams that called me to pastoring. I was not going to pastor, but God gave me a vision in the night that was so powerful, and I knew the interpretation of it. And then I had some prophets come and help me define it further, and I knew what God was saying. And it came through a dream or a vision in the night. Joel 2:28, it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Let's just believe that we're in those last days. And he says, your young men shall, your old men shall dream dreams, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. But the Bible uses dreams and visions interchangeably, so I'm not going to go there today. I believe, though, when you have a dream or a vision that you know is from God, I tell you what, it will heal what ails you. In Job 33, verse 14, 15, and 16, it speaks about in a dream or a vision of the night. And I believe sometimes when we're asleep at night, our mind is less active. It's an opportunity for God to deliver something to us. And it can be a life-changing experience. I'm speaking it out to you today. If you have if you've had a dream that you believe might be from God, you know, I'm happy to discuss it with you and see if you can receive more from God through those images. Let's look at the quiet inner voice. I want to say this to you. Maybe most often people just hear that quiet inner voice. Can you imagine that God kind of introduces this to us from Elijah the prophet? You know, after he calls fire from heaven, kills all the false prophets, and, you know, causes rain to come after 3.5 years, you know, then we see Elijah is running for his life. You know, that doesn't make any sense. But Elijah, we see in chapter 19, he's running. He's wondering where God is, and God takes him to the mountain. And the first thing that we see is that there's a really wild wind. There's a wild earthquake. There's fire. And the Bible specifically says, but God was not in the wind. God was not in the earthquake. God was not in the fire. But then it speaks of that still small voice. But then God spoke with a still small voice. You know, I believe that we have the opportunity to get silent before God and really hear him. When we spend that time one-on-one with him in prayer, maybe just on your face before God, get quiet, turn everything off, get quiet and listen and let God speak. You know, I went to Oral Roberts University, and it's there where God showed me, introduced me to my wife-to-be. That's Pastor Jeanette, who was up on the piano here. And it was a still small voice that spoke to me when God told me, I mean, the first time I met her, she's the one. And wow, I tell you what, that shocked me because I'm not wired that way. You know, I'm not wired to fall in love. In fact, the first time I mentioned love to her, I told her, Jeanette, I think maybe I'm in love with you. I think maybe. You know, that's real romantic, right? That's just the way I was wired, you know. And but when I first met her, you know, the Lord said, she's the one. So, man, I just kept my hands off of her, you know. I didn't want to mess this up with, you know, the dating routine, you know. I didn't ask her out. You know, I just kept my eye on her. I went to study with her a couple of times. Where is she? And even to the point where she asked her roommate to ask my roommate why I never asked her out. What was going on? Well, I told her later, you know, that, you know, I didn't want to mess this up because God told me You're the one. You're the one. Now, God had to tell her, too. But that was a still, small voice. It wasn't a dream or a vision. I just knew that I knew. And I believe that we can learn to hear his voice. You know, God gave me a lab session in that out on the streets of our city one time. I've told you this before. You might remember I was coming around the curve by DeSoto Square Mall, that big curve in downtown Bradenton. And I heard a voice inside of me say, beware, caution, that car up there is going to pull out in front of you. And I saw it. It was a good ways off. And I thought, you know, it's daylight. This is not nighttime. He can see me. I'm sure it's fine. So I shrugged it off. But I got closer. That car pulled out in front of me. I had hit the brakes to keep from hitting them. So I thought, wow, that's kind of strange that I had that premonition, I thought, because I had never identified this to be the voice of God. But I got to tell you, the very next time I came to that same spot, that same curve, I heard a voice again say, be careful, slow down. That car up there is going to pull out. And this time I thought, well, I'm just remembering the last time I was here. I'm remembering that I said that. So, but sure enough, there was a car sitting there. And but this time I was a little more prepared, you know, and sure enough, he was even closer. Pulled out in front of me. I had to hit the brakes and stop from hitting his car. Wow. Thought, wow, that's kind of strange, you know. But I still didn't get through my head that God was trying to help me get familiar with his voice. And I'm telling you the truth when I say the next time, the third time, like Samuel, you know, the third time I'm at that same spot, I heard that voice again say, slow down, be careful. That car is going to pull out in front of you. And this time I took my foot off the accelerator. I put my foot on the top of the brake. And I got to tell you, it was even closer. It was crazy, crazy. But I tell you what, I started thinking, you know what? I need to be more attentive to hearing that voice. Because I want God to guide my steps. How about you? You know, I want God to guide my steps. Life gets so exciting that way. And I've had a lot more exciting time since then, just recognizing God. I pulled out on I-75 one time and all the traffic came to a stop. You ever been there? And the traffic comes to a stop on I-75. I hate that, you know. But I'm sitting there and I was on an appointment I had to make. I had to be somewhere. But I'm sitting there stopped and just all the lanes are full. And all of a sudden I felt a spirit in me say, there's an accident up there and somebody needs prayer. And I thought, well, somebody needs prayer and I know how to pray. I should probably go see what I can do to help. So I pulled out. I was in the fast lane. I pulled off into that emergency lane that's always free, you know, and I started driving. And I'm passing these hundreds of cars. It felt so good. Yeah. And as I'm passing them, you know, to try to get to the front of all these cars, a highway patrolman comes racing up behind me with his lights on. You know, and I figured, well, he's going to the same place I am. So we're both going to get there, you know. And I sped up a little bit. I figured he was in a hurry. And we got over the ridge, and sure enough, there were red lights everywhere. There was a medevac helicopter in the middle of the road and just a lot of flashing lights, and we were there. So I pulled over into the ditch that highway patrol pulled over right beside me. I got out of my car. I started walking to the action. He ran up beside me and said, are you a doctor? In my mind world, I said, yes, doctor of divinity. Right? He said, well, thank you, Reverend. We're going to need your services. He said, the family's right over here alongside the road. And you get over there. He said, there's a body covered in the middle of the road. They're deceased. But more of the family's coming. And we'd appreciate it if you go over there and pray for them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Still small voice, you know, that prompted me. on that. Now, I'm going to tell you, I know that some of you are already doing stuff like that because I'm hearing about it. I'm hearing about it. I go to a store, I go to Walmart, and they say, you know, Pastor, your people are all around here. They're always praying for people. I like that kind of reputation. We're out there praying for people. Amen. So I'm declaring that quiet inner voice, Father, that we're going to hear it. It's the new normal, oh God, that you're allowing us to hear your voice so we can have instructions. So how to go, where to go, who to minister to. And Lord, also that we can get important information for our own lives, how to live effectively for you in Jesus' name. Let me close on one more way that I believe is so important. And by the way, these are not all the ways, but I believe these are ways that maybe we are most familiar with. Interpretation of tongues. This is a spirit-filled church. And we believe that tongues and interpretation of tongues are both one of the nine gifts of the Spirit that are offered to us to manifest the reality of God on earth today. But tongues and interpretation of tongues may be the most important gifts with regard to your relationship with God, because the Bible says that tongues is the language of the Spirit, the language of God. And we don't understand it. So God gives us the gift of interpretation of tongues so that literally, church, God can speak through us with this language of the Spirit and then interpret it to our understanding. Hallelujah. And so we can get instructions from God. And I want to show you a couple of scriptures. I'm going to put those up on the screen because God was doing this in my life before he showed me the scripture to support it. You know, I like to pray for an hour, and I run out of things to say in English, you know, in about 10 minutes. And then I just pray in the Spirit. But I was discovering early on in my prayer life that when I'd pray in the Spirit, things would come to my mind that I had to do for that day, praying in the morning, you know, like, remember to take out the garbage today. It's garbage day. And I'd be thinking, get thee behind me, Satan. I'm trying to pray here, you know. But I couldn't get it off my mind, you know, until I wrote it down. So I just started writing down something come to my mind. I write it down. When I get done praying, I had the best things to do list for that day that I could ever have come up with just racking my brain. And it started dawning on me that God was ordering my day, that God was speaking to me, even the simple things. If I don't take out the trash, I'm going to have trouble in my marriage. But it was just so wonderful, and it's been wonderful. This is the way I know I can hear from God all the time, pray in the Spirit. Just pray in the Spirit and just let my mind be unfruitful until God gives me images or words or instructions while I'm praying in the Spirit. Well, let's look at the verses to support this. Romans 8:26, it says, likewise, the Spirit, that's capital S, that means Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered with words. That's what that actually means. And then it goes on, the next verse says, he that searches the hearts, which is Christ, he knows the mind of the Spirit, and he makes intercession for the saints on behalf of and according with the will of God. So if you want to pray according to the will of God, pray in the Spirit, just with groanings that words cannot utter. Now, let me wrap that around another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now, I had you start there. I'm going to close there because I want to read the context of this verse. It starts out with verse 9. As it is written, I'm in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. As it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Anybody love God out here? God's got some things prepared for you. But God has revealed them, revealed what? Some things unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God, capital S, the Spirit of God. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now, verse 13, I'm putting this up on the screen. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. That word comparing in the Greek would be better said interpreting spiritual things with spiritual. This helped me understand that God uses these gifts this way, that the gift of tongues is not meant for bringing a word to the body of Christ. Prophecy is meant for that. But tongues is a language of the Spirit. That's such a wonderful way for me to get intimate with God and just pray in a language that He understands and pray about things that concern Him. And then what He wants me to know, He prays through me and interprets. Somebody say, wow. God's good, isn't He? God is so good. Aren't you glad in this kingdom we have a language? God has a language. We have our own language. You know, we don't worry about our earthly culture. The culture of heaven has a language. And our Heavenly Father wants to speak with us. I want to just put up all these again on the screen for you, because I'm just declaring that for us to stand out in the world today, we need to have that connection with God like we've never had before. Not just to pray, but to hear the voice of God. Don't we desire that? Let's stand together. I'm going to close on this. You know, Jesus said these words, he that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. And I'm asking God to give us ears to hear his voice. Oh God, we are surrounded by so many voices. We're surrounded by darkness. But Father, in you we live and move and have our being. And I'm praying, Father, today, that you'll give us ears to hear, give us eyes to see. Oh God, I pray, let us hear your voice. Let us walk in your ways, oh God, like never before. Lord, I'm declaring this the new normal for the church. Lord, not just for a few preachers or prophets, but Father, for your body, for the body of Christ, for each and every one of us. Lord, that we can be right where you want us to be. Lord, for such a time as this, in our families, in our place of business, Lord, in the marketplace, here in the church, Lord, that you've got a place for each one. Lord, give us ears to hear in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Brother Jesse, we sing a song and you lead it called Word of God Speak. I want us, if we can put the words of this up on the screen, I want us to make this declaration. We're talking to God. Word of God, speak. Won't you pour down like rain? Pour down like rain, oh God. Word of God, speak. Washing my eyes to see. And let's just receive of the Lord today.